You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and John O'Connell on this edition, looking ahead to Monday's action. A very good morning, good afternoon, in fact, to you, Mr. O'Connell.
Good afternoon, Alex. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm in good form, good form.
We had a very busy Saturday of action with the flat being back. I touched on a couple of races off the back of the Brocklesby yesterday with Andy Holding. I just want to mention again the Lincoln winner, because Auxerre was very, very impressive. And I highlighted yesterday that I was doing all I could to be against him.
Yeah.
But he was just very, very good and looks like one to very much keep on the right side of.
Yeah. Probably Lars will see if him in handicaps will be in group company next to you. Imagine the Sandone race in about a month's time on the Friday of their Whitbread meeting. Mm. I don't think it was a strong race yesterday. We were saying before the race, it didn't have the look of a strong race. There was no great depth to it. If you think of it, the 5-2 favourite beat the 9-2 second favourite.
Yes.
There weren't many in there with realistic chances, it seemed. And he's going to have to improve again, but he's clearly also going forward. I don't know what he... I think he beat just some good handicappers yesterday, but there was no depth to that field. And yeah, he'd done it in good style, but tougher tasks await.
Definitely. There was some high-quality action all over the place on Saturday, including, of course, out in Maidan, where Thundersnow... I mean, there's been talk on Twitter of some people saying Thundersnow should be considered a great, and some saying that's ridiculous, he can't be considered a great, but you can't knock a horse who just keeps turning up on the big stage and winning.
No, you can't, but... I don't pay huge amount of detail during the winter. Sometimes, if you're doing so much work with all the racing, something has to take a back seat. And for me, it's generally Jabai. And I'm not knocking it because a lot of people like it. And it definitely stirs up the action on a Thursday, for example.
Yeah, it does.
During the winter, it's good to see like that. But I'm not having it that even at 5.6 million to the winner, this is the greatest race in the world.
No.
But he goes over and wins these races. He beats what turned up on the day.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the race yesterday. We saw it very briefly, the last furlong or so, because we had a few screens up. And I know there was a lot of bans yesterday being put about for various jockey misdemeanours, whip demeanours. And I need to see this race again. But, yeah, Christoph Simeon got a... I don't know if it was a ban or a fine.
Well, you were rather busy in here, here being the William Hill Racing Radio Studios, focusing on all of the UK action. So I certainly can't blame you for not letting your eyes wander on what was a very busy Saturday. And it's interesting, actually, because I mentioned that you were on air. You were on air with Sam Norris, and I've come and sat down, and he's left one of the tabs open on the internet. And this could go in many different directions, but don't worry, Sam.
I hope it's all right.
Exactly. I believe you were talking last night about the flat jockey's handicap.
Yeah, we were.
So this is not a race. It sounds like a race, isn't it?
Yeah.
I suppose it is a race, but it is basically you've got Sylvester D'Souza as the scratch runner, if you will, and various jockeys being given various amounts of winners to make it as level a playing field as possible. It's 14-1 for everyone, with the exception of Ashin Murphy, who's 10-1.
Yeah, he's been backed in already,
And he gets 10.
Yeah.
Buick plus 60, Ben Curtis 60, Dettori 90. Basically, everyone's on there. And there'll be a fair few that are of interest. Just off the top of my head, I'm just thinking Adam Kirby plus 80 seems generous enough.
We were talking about it last night. I've got a bit of history in these events. I do like them. I think they're great events. They take a fair bit of thinking up for the from the compiler side of things. But it's something I used to do in the past as well. And it takes a lot of thinking up if you're the form student or the punter or whatever, trying to find some value. I think I can definitely see why Oisin Murphy is the one who's shortened up. I can't be having Ryan Moore and the likes of Frankie Dettori, the quality, you know, the ones who are just going for quality.
Dettori gets 90, but the thing is, he'll be riding at most five horses a week, not on weekends, whereas others will be doing that in a meeting.
Oisin Murphy is making positive sounds. Now, they all do. They virtually all say, yeah, I'm going to be really bitty this year. But in truth, he really will be. And there are very few trainers he's not going to be riding for. Hugo Palmer put them up on a couple the other day at Lingfield. He's going to be using them a lot this season. And that's apart from the Andrew Baldy and the contracts, all the other trainers he's built up over the last couple of years. You mentioned nearly all the jockeys in there. We talked about it last night. When I was waiting for that list to come up, I had one in mind to back.
Who's that?
Tom Marquandi's not in the list.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
And it's not one of those you can add into a list.
No, no.
I'm not talking about winning the title or anything like that, but I'm assuming he'd have been a plus 80 or 90 or whatever.
He could outperform his odds.
He would have outperformed his odds. He's going to get a few winners this season. Boy, he's got a lot of contacts and he's riding very well.
If you go on the specials tab of the horse racing page on the William Hill website, there are a whole host of jockey specials. If you are betting outright on the flat jockey's title, D'Souza is odds on 10 to 11. Oisin Murphy 11 to 8, 12 to 1 then for James Doyle. 14's Jason Watson, 16's Jim Crowley, and 20's and bigger the remainder. But there's a whole host of value to be found on the apprentice title as well, where Sean Davis is 5 to 2, 11 to 4 for Kieran Fallon Jr., 8s for Thomas Greatrex, and 9s and bigger the rest. I believe you like Mr. Fallon Jr. there?
Probably, but I've missed out on the Sean Davis prices. I think a few people have as well. I think he's very short now, but he's been backed in from half. He was 5 to 1, I think, last week.
Yeah.
He's got loads of experience in the last few years from Ireland. He's now with Richard Fahey, so he's going to be having a busy time this season with plenty of rides.
They have
there.
So many runners, exactly, yeah. Left, right, and centre.
Yeah. So he'll get plenty of rides there.
Yeah.
One thing we should mention there, Alex, these events here, it's the championship season, which doesn't start, I think, till Guineas Day.
Ah, right.
So it's not, if people get involved, it doesn't start today or tomorrow or yesterday, Lincoln Day.
It says I think May runs the 4th. From Saturday, May the 4th to Saturday, October the 19th.
That's right, the Ascot Champions Day. So
bear that in mind.
Yeah, it's a 5.5 month thing. I suppose you can think that brings in the plus 80s and the plus 90s, whatever. But
yeah.
It
also gives you a month to assess who's getting rides where. And
yeah, well, you've had people falling for it in the past and thinking, oh, so-and-so has ridden a winner at a hat-trick, rather, at the Craven meeting in April, but those winners don't count. Just a little word for the punters.
And there's also a female flat jockey's handicap as well, where Nicola Curry is the scratch, receiving 5, Hayley Turner and Josie Gordon and Holly Doyle, and everyone else is receiving 20 or more. Rachel Richardson 20, Poppy Bridgewater 25, and bigger the rest. Again, an interesting market. I'll be honest, I don't have a strong fancy in that.
Yeah,
Nicola
Curry won it last year.
Yeah.
And she's built up quite a few contacts. Holly Doyle is the very interesting one there. Josephine Gordon, it's gone quiet for her because she lost the job at Hugo Palmer's. And she's just having a little... I don't know what's happened there.
I thought Poppy Bridgewater could be of interest, plus 25. But then again, you're looking at where firepower is coming from.
Exactly, yeah.
And it's hard to get away from Nicola Curry in that sense, in that she is mustard.
Nicola Curry and Holly Doyle will have plenty of rides. I don't know how many... I'm assuming Hayley Turner has stopped the French link that she had, but she's not getting as many rides as she was getting a few years ago before she sort of semi-retired. But the Josephine Gordon is the fly in the ointment, given the fact that these days she's obviously gone quiet since that fantastic run in about 2016-17. And she's got to just sort of rebuild a little bit. I mean, she's good enough to come back. But you mentioned Nicola Curry being mustard. Josephine Gordon was absolute top notch a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
She will come back. It just would depend on whether it's going to be this year or next year.
And while we're talking specials, I've just managed to stumble on one ahead of the Grand National, which is a lovely segue into Saturday's big race. And this is one that it seems outlandish, but at the same time, also not quite as ridiculous as it seemed when I first read it. Tiger Roll to win 2 more Grand Nationals and equal Red Rum's record. 33 to 1. But if he wins this year, He won't be...
trying to work out what the mathematical price was. He about currently about fours.
Fours.
So that's that 33 makes him about a 7-1 chance, does it?
Yeah.
6-7-1
chance. And chances are if he wins this year and he remains sound, but... Yeah, it is what it is. It's 33-1. You could probably put 50 pence on worse things, but you could probably find a better 33-1 shot as well.
Yeah. Tiger Roll, God, that's some.
Well.
Some horse to win a Triumph Hurdle.
Yeah.
I must admit, I've never been a fan of the cross-country races at Cheltenham, but I still take my hat off to all concerned with the horse for getting him to win a couple of those, plus I throw a Grand National in there as well. And it could be two Grand Nationals by this time next week.
We touched on it yesterday with Andy. Tiger Roll currently 7-2. Rathvinden 10s. Annabelle Fly 12s. 14s for Vintage Cloud. 16s Lakeview Lad. 20s Rock the Casbah and Pleasant Company. And 25s and Bigger the Rest. Rather swiftly, because we are pressed for time.
Yep.
Firstly, do you have a strong fancy?
Not a strong fancy. A couple against the field at this stage. Vintage Clouds. Although I am very, very worried about the first handful of fences. I think he's one who will shorten up on the exchanges quite a lot after the first couple of fences if he gets over.
Yeah.
We saw him at Cheltenham, he was very aggressively ridden. Then they were always trying to get a very prominent position on the horse. Mm. So it could be a bit vulnerable at the first couple of fences. The other one, absolute bonkers one, Maldini, I think.
All right.
I wouldn't be surprised if he takes to this.
Yeah.
The old, we hear it every year, this horse could take to it. Maldini... every now he's got it in him to run a big race in something like this.
28-1 Maldini. But it's just, well, it's the Grand National.
It is.
It's one of those races you could probably make a case for all of them because they're good horses, and it ends up being the one that you cannot make a case for that wins. See Aurora's Encore a few years ago.
Yes.
And say you cannot make a case, but you really have to delve.
Yeah.
But
when you look afterwards, there's always something obvious in there, but it just doesn't jump up before the time.
We'll have more on the Grand National in the week ahead and the build-up to the big race. I can't wait for it. There'll be plenty more to come. So do stay tuned to the Racing Podcast and Racing Radio. Plenty more still to discuss. We're going to focus on two now on Monday, and we're going to start at Chelmsford. The 4:45 is a handicap over a mile and two for the three-year-olds. And there's a fair few pretty steady, consistent types in here. And we've got two last time out winners thrown into the mix as well.
We have top weight and bottom weight. Top weight Rock Up in Style. And it's the bottom weight that catches my eye. Crazy Rod Millman. Mm. So I wonder if young James Millman's in tomorrow. Not too sure, but...
he's not, to my knowledge, unless he's on TV.
Okay.
But we can text him and pester him if you'd like.
No, I think it's got a big chance of following up his win at Kempton 3 weeks ago. He's tried this trip a mile and a quarter a couple of times and he was fine at it. I think the very positive ride at Kempton last time over a mile worked perfectly. He's ready now to go back to a mile and a quarter, and I think he's got a bit more to come. Obviously, a few interesting ones, given that Andrew Baldwin has got one going into a handicap after three runs. John Gosden wouldn't have many 64 rated horses, such as the one he's got there, Fanfarinade. But I think Grazy will be able to follow up.
Okay. Grazy then for the Millman team and SDS in the 4:45 at Chelmsford. And we'll go back 20 minutes for a race at Ludlow. The 4:25 is a mare's handicap hurdle. And again, I believe you're going to side with a last time out winner, the only one in the field. That's Mabella for the Skelton team.
It is, yeah. They're going to be firing in the winners over the next month or so. Has that been over the last few weeks? I think this is a big runner in this race. Won a ladies' race at Huntingdon. Now it goes into a mare's only race. Harry Skelton takes over. It won that day, I think, despite the slow pace. It was held up off a slow pace. It did very well to beat horses who were ridden handier and closer to pace. I think this race should be run better to suit because Midnight Target goes from the front and there's a couple of others who can go from the front. So this should be a better pace. Should be able to get better pace to aim at and be passing the tiring horses in the straight. She's got more to come. I think she'll probably win this and probably win again before the season's up.
Okay. And while we're touching on Skeltons very quickly, I'm going to throw one into the mix, not for tomorrow, but for the future. And that's Denmead, who I saw win at Weatherby on Friday.
Yep.
He is a lovely type. He didn't beat much on Friday, but he's just one of those horses that I think will just keep improving.
I think he's going to turn up in a big handicap this spring, whether it be the Swinton, the Scottish Champion, or something along those lines. There's plenty to choose from. And he'll be competitive wherever he goes.
He's a proper horse. Be interesting to see where he ends up next. But the two for interest for John then on Monday afternoon, Grazy in the 4:45 at Chelmsford and Mabella in the 4:25 at Ludlow. Mr O'Connell, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.